Last week I preached about practical atheism. Practical atheism is when we profess to believe in God, say we believe in his eternal and infinite attributes, yet live in a manner that denies him. As I talked about, the thief, the murderer, the adulterer, they go out at night, they veil their face, they hide themselves in the cover of darkness, and they say, "No one sees me," yet God sees them. They live as a practical atheist. As we heard last week, all denials of God are not all denials of his existence. Sin, especially continual sin, is a practical way of denying God is who he says he is. As a Christian, we need to live in a manner that reflects our stated beliefs. Amen? We must live an authentic life, or we at best dabble in practical atheism. Last week we had more of an outward, external view of what it means to be a practical atheist. This week we're going to turn inward. Now I talked to Jeff this week, and he said when he got home, Gail said to him, something like, "You okay?" And he said, "He called me an atheist." So if I upset anybody last week, I'm probably guaranteed to upset somebody this week. Would you stand with me as we read from Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 36? What is probably a very familiar story from the Bible. "And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern," that would be Jesus, "asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Heavenly Father, as we look into your word today, Lord, as we consider what is in our own hearts and lives, Lord. Lord, may we know that you're the one that speaks to the waves and causes them to be still, that silences the thunder and stops the lightning from striking. God, that you hold the universe and history in your hand, Lord. You hold our very lives in your hand. Whom shall we fear? Lord, I pray that this message would take deep root in our hearts, Lord, as we live in troubled days. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated. While most of us hate to admit it, we all fear something. Every one of us is afraid of something. Now, we might put on a good show for others, but at some point in our life, we all know fear. Some fear physical violence. Others fear verbal confrontation. Some fear failure, while others fear success. Some men fear commitment, while other men fear being alone. Some fear snakes or spiders, while others would never admit to their fear out of a fear of embarrassment. Some fear the past and what others might think of them, so they never open up or share, while others fear the future. Some men fear death, while other men fear living. Fear is a common thread in every man's life. I've felt it, and I know that you've felt it. It's something we all experience, again, at some point in life. Maybe it was on the playground at school as the bully comes to punch you in the gut and take your lunch money. Or maybe it was during combat and military service. Perhaps it is fear that someone you love is going to die or to leave you. Perhaps you fear for your own life. Probably the most fear I've ever felt in my life was while I was in Uganda as hundreds of armed men were trying to kill us. and bullets were whizzing through the air. I'm not sure exactly why I was afraid, but I was. And you would be too. But today we live in a time of fear and fear-mongering. Some time back, while preaching on fear, I gave a list of things people were afraid of then. I said, there are countless things to be afraid of, it seems. High cholesterol, high blood sugar, high taxes, old age, my 401k failing, funding from Medicare and Social Security, poverty, loss of a job, foreclosure, debt, the stock market crashing, bankruptcy, lack of insurance, bank failures, layoffs, salary cuts, rejection by friends or family, divorce, conflict, crime, guns, a lack of guns, a lack of ammo, identity theft, Al-Qaeda, Muslims, liberals, conservatives, that one, no, that one, anyone named Trump, anyone named Hussein, now today, anyone named Biden, Pelosi, or Harris, and amazingly, still Trump. Today, we could easily add to that China, socialism, and the censorship of free speech. If there were things to be fearful of 5 years ago when I said those words, imagine all the things we have to be fearful of today. COVID-19, coronavirus. For the past year, the world has been gripped with fear of a virus. Now, it's not my intention to put forth my own feelings on the matter this morning, but really the only thing I want to do is just point out the fear that has gripped the heart of the whole world. Now, in times of crisis, measured logical steps should be taken. As my good friend Ken likes to say, God gave you a brain. Use it once in a while. So to be clear, I've recommended to several people that because they are in high-risk categories, listen, you should not come to church in person. Stay home, watch it online, be safe. I recommend that each one of us practice common sense and proven ways of reducing the transmission of COVID-19. I also highly recommend that you do not live in fear of COVID-19. Viruses will do what viruses will do. They will make you sick, and sometimes they will kill people. It's a fact. We have lived in fear of this virus for the past year, and now we have a vaccine for it. And do you know what people are doing because of the vaccine? Worrying. Living in fear of the vaccine. Maybe with good reason. I don't know. But we're scared of the virus, and now we're scared of the vaccine. But what will living in fear and worry do for you? Did you know that worrying all the time, living with fear and anxiety, will give you ulcers and digestive issues? Worry will make your hair fall out. Mine started when Gabe was 18 months old and he was in the pediatric unit in Dartmouth for 9 days. Worry will give you high blood pressure and ultimately heart issues. Worry will increase your blood sugar and your chances of coming down with diabetes. Are you worried yet? Worry will keep you from sleeping. Worry will even make you fat. Worry will give you headaches and migraines. Worry can weaken your immune system and therefore contribute to you getting sick more, giving you more to worry about, and making it more likely you might not be able to fight off the COVID-19 virus. Some scientists even say that worry can increase your chances of getting cancer. Now think about it for a moment. Worrying about your health may actually increase the chances of you getting sick and dying. It's no wonder we worry so much. Civil War. I know that many of us recognize the powder keg that our nation is this very hour. The supposed to be armed protest plan for Washington, D.C. and every state capital in the nation. Some reports are saying that it may start today. Given the high tensions on both sides, it will take naught but a spark to light the fuse of war. All it could take is for one person to get trigger happy. Now, if you can imagine, a 2018 report said that U.S. private citizens own 393 million guns. We have more guns than we have people. And this last year saw such an increase in first-time gun owners, it was just off the charts. Ammo was hard to find because everybody's buying it up. That's a really bad recipe when you mix in the level of stress the nation is feeling. In a recent post on Facebook, I said, if you poke someone long enough, eventually you will get a response. And it's a problem on both sides of the spectrum, left and right. We poke and we pick at each other, and sooner or later, one side or the other is going to snap. If you're not worried about a civil war in our nation, you probably haven't been paying attention to the news. I heard John Hagee recently say, I wonder if you have a PhD in worrying. He said, how many of you worry more than you should? Raise your hand. And then he said, how many of you have trouble telling the truth? He said, worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but will get you nowhere. My father often said of my grandmother that she was worried if she didn't have anything to worry about. Right. Wars may come. Disease and sickness will come. Sooner or later, you grow old and it's no fun, but what will worrying do to change what is inevitable? The only thing fear, anxiety, and worry do is make life miserable. The Lord said, to paraphrase, don't worry, be happy. Matthew 6, 26 and 27. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? How much time can you add to your life by worrying about how long you'll live? Not even a second. In fact, as we've already seen, it may shorten your life. Psalms 139:16 says, in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. You understand what the psalmist is saying there? He says, listen, you determined, you formed, you gave me the number of my days before I had even lived a single one of them. And so if God numbers your days here on earth, what will worrying do? It can't give you any more days. Job 14:5 says, since his days are determined and the number of his months is with you, and you have appointed his limits that he cannot pass. Luke 12:7 says, why? Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. God numbers our days. He knows how many hairs are on our head. He knows everything that's going on with us. And so if God takes such great concern with us, with our lives, why should we worry about it? We worry about living a long life, and then we worry about how we look when we start getting older. Anybody experience that? Have you ever considered such insanity? We want to grow old, but not to look old. Ladies, you spend incredible amounts of money trying to keep the wrinkles away. I saw that. Now, I know that because my daughters gave me their Christmas list this year. And so I know how jaw-dropping it is. The price tags on some of the things that you buy to keep your skin looking young. Do you know what worrying does to your face? It creates wrinkles. And so if you want to look young, here's a secret. Don't worry. You might even save a lot of money. Men, have you ever noticed how fear and worry will paralyze you? When you, in that moment when you need a clear mind and a steady hand, worry shatters your ability to speak or to think straight. Now, everyone, I want you to do something strange for me this morning. Everyone, I want you to stand up. Stand up. Everybody at home, stand up. Everybody, I want you to take a nice, deep breath. One more. Let all the worry out. And consider this verse. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. Take another deep breath. Let it all out. But in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. Now, worry and fear, I hate to tell you this morning, they're forms of practical atheism. You see, when you live your life in fear, when worry grips you and it won't let go, when you can't break free, you really don't believe that God is in control. If God is in control, what do you have to truly be fearful of? What do you truly have to worry about? Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Again, listening to John Hagee the other day, I heard him say, and I thought, just what an incredible statement. The shadow of the lion cannot bite you. The shadow of the snake cannot strike you. The shadow of a sword cannot cut you. And the Lord, he has turned death into a shadow. So what is it that death can do to you and me? It has no real power over us. Again, think about that statement for a moment. What do we have to fear from death if it is but a shadow? What real harm can a shadow cause you? Absolutely nothing. Death is nothing but a shadow, so do not fear it. Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord your healer. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He is El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. He is Yahweh Yireh, God our provider. He is Yahweh Shalom. He is our peace. He's our rock and strong tower. He's our shield and our champion. He is our deliverer and our redeemer. Psalms 107, 19 and 20. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. You see, if the armies of the whole earth gather against us, should we fear? If God is for you, who can be against you? If the God of angel armies goes in battle before us, who can stand against us? Psalms 27:3, though an army encamp around me, against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. Psalms 118:6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Exodus 14:13, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. They would never see the Egyptian army again because God drowned them in the rushing tide of the Red Sea. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Practical atheism. We worry about our lives even when God numbers our days. We worry about war even though the Lord is our defender and our shield. We worry about everything even when we say we know that God is in control. That, folks, is a practical atheism. God is in control of planet Earth. God is in control of the history of this planet. There isn't an event that catches him off guard. There is not a move made on the eternal chessboard that he has not foreseen and has already planned for. There is nothing man or Satan can do to stop God and his plans for his people. It's one of my favorite subjects, and I fall back on it whenever I see the opportunity because I love it so much. But history is his story. We see it borne out time and time again. God has been in control since the very beginning, and there has never been a moment in time, nor will there ever be a moment in time that he is not in control. God's plan for planet Earth, for his people, for the ultimate resolution of all things is being worked out this very moment. There's not one moment of history that's random. After man's fall in the garden, the earth was filled with violence and sin. The Lord brought judgment on the earth in the form of a great global flood. You know the story well, I'm sure. Only Noah and his family and the animals were saved in the ark. In Genesis 8, we find the theme of God's divine deliverance appear as Noah's ark safely comes to rest on Mount Ararat. The Bible records the very day that that happened, and it was the 17th of the Jewish month of Nisan. Fast forward many years. The family of Jacob entered Egypt and into Joseph's care to receive deliverance from the great famine on the 17th of Nisan. 430 years later, on the very same day, the Israelites were delivered up out of the Red Sea and from its slavery in Egypt on the 17th of Nisan. 40 years later, the Israelites entered and ate of the first fruit of the Promised Land on the 17th of Nisan, completing their journey of deliverance. In the days of Queen Esther, the Jews were delivered from extinction at the hands of the evil Haman on the 17th of Nisan. For it was on that night that Esther revealed the man's evil plans to the king at her dinner party. And 2,000 years ago, we were delivered from the grip of death and sin as Yeshua, the Messiah, rose from the dead and defeated death, hell, and the grave as the first fruits of those raised from the dead on the 17th of Nisan. God is in control. Every moment is held in his hands, and he shapes it to his goodwill and pleasure. Isaiah 41:4, from a translation I normally don't use, but I love the way it rendered this verse, says, "Who was it that made this happen? Who has determined the course of history? I, the Lord, was there at the beginning, and I, the Lord, will be there at the end." So don't be afraid. Don't allow yourself to be a practical atheist. Stop worrying and live life in the confidence that God is able. Now, the reality of life is trouble comes. I don't know about you, but I've experienced trouble. I'm sure every one of you has experienced trouble in some point in life, and if you haven't, it's guaranteed to come. In the natural, we have things to worry about, and it is only natural that we would worry. Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation." John 16:33. Life is tragic on so many different levels. Sickness, death, disease, war, pain, hardship, persecution will come to us all at some point. It's not a question of if, but rather when. How can you not fear and worry about these things? Be still and know that he is God. Personally, I don't worry so much about my own life or my health. If I did, I'd make it to the gym a lot more often. Do you know what I worry about? I worry about things like my kids. What are they going to have to endure in this world? I said the other night, when it was clear the Democrats had taken the White House, maintained control over the Congress, and taken control of the Senate, that I feared that they would never know the America I have known. I fear the prospects of a socialist takeover. I understand what socialism and communism do to a nation and people. And we see it already with censorship and calls for the children of Trump supporters to be taken away and placed in re-education camps. Can you imagine someone seriously saying that in the United States of America? Well, it happened this past week. Should scare anyone who loves freedom, whatever side of the political spectrum you fall on. Things have gotten so bad that this week that a lawyer from the ACLU has spoken out against Twitter and Facebook for what they've done to the president by censoring him on their platforms. Folks, that is the greatest sign that the whole world is flipped upside down, let me tell you. That the ACLU would, in essence, come to defense of President Trump. That's a sign that things have really gone south for those that love freedom. My kids, will they be all right? Will they be happy? Will they be healthy? Will they believe and be saved from their sins? Will they walk in the faith? Well, here's the reality. If I can have faith and not worry that God can number my days, why can't I believe that he'll do the same for my children? If God can deliver me, and if he doesn't, he can raise me to new life, then why can't I believe the same thing for my children? If God can save me from my sins and the temptations of this world, why can't he do the same for my kids? Why am I worried? God is perfectly able. Amen. I'm going to get sick from time to time. It's reality. As much as I love this country and the principles she was founded upon, trouble and perhaps her end will come. Wars will be fought. Lives will be lost. It's reality. Tribulation will come. Troubled times will fall on us all, big or small. But my peace cannot be tied to my comfort level. Did you hear me? Our peace cannot be tied to our level of comfort. My peace cannot be dependent upon my health or security. You see, our peace is to be found in the Lord Almighty, who can deliver us up out of the pit. My trust has to be in the one who can heal every disease by his word. My faith must be in the one who can send the enemy fleeing. My hope is in the one who can deliver and redeem. Back to John 16:33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You see the difference there? Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation. But in me, that's the place you will find peace. And remember, I have overcome the world. So please understand, I'm not saying that if you worry about something that is truly troubling, you are somehow an atheist. Times of fear and worry will come. What makes you a practical atheist is when fear and worry rule your life. I know so many people that are frozen by fear. So what are you worried about today? Stop. Embrace peace. Embrace the peace that Jesus offers you. Again, our peace is found in him and in his promises to us. Embrace serenity. Stop being afraid. Stop worrying about what will come because you know the one who holds it all in his hands. Mark chapter 4, where we began. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? I'm going to ask you to stand with me once again. Take a nice deep breath again. One more. Let the worry and fear go. Give it to the Lord. Peace be to us all. Because we found the Prince of Peace. The storms, the winds, the waves, the thunder, and the lightning, they may arise in our life. I don't know how many of you ever have felt like your boat's just sinking. That will happen from time to time. And it may seem like the Lord's asleep. He doesn't know what's going on. But in reality, he's trying to show us the peace that he has about the situation. And at the right moment, at the right time, he will stand up and say, Peace, be still. And he will put all things right. He will end all wars. He will heal every disease. And raise every life from the dead. So why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Heavenly Father, we praise you this morning. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the one that holds us in your hands.